great job to the singers. So Ashlyn, amazing. So thankful that you sang today. Good job. Josh Vita, who is this King of Glory? So good. And Ben, great job leading worship today. One thing that I noticed today that I just want to start off by saying is I really, really, really appreciate Ben's worship leading style of just being relaxed. And I don't know if you felt it, but there was no rush to get into the next cycle. There was no rush to get out of the song and go to the next thing. Because I've been on those teams too where it always feels like it's like rush, 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 rush. And I like it when we can just kick back and there's no pressure and we can just allow the Holy Spirit to kind of lead us. And I totally feel that whenever you lead worship. So I really appreciate that about Ben's leadership. Yeah. So what we're going to do, you can start. Did you have something you want to say? You want to be on our team. All right. Good. Good. You're part of our family forever. You can be on our team. So what I wanted to do today in our debrief is we had three things that we can kind of debrief about. Number one, I want to start with the meditation time. And Megan did an excellent job of kind of laying out how to meditate and the way to do it. And you guys had Psalm 27:4. So first, I just wanted to hear, and I'm going to hand the mic over to Megan, and she can kind of lead this part of it, but just what you received through meditation today. You know, how many of you feel like you got something from the Lord in that time? Okay, great, 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 great. So we want to hear from you. We also want to hear from the ones of you that said, man, this was a real struggle today, because we want to help, maybe help you navigate that so next time it isn't such a struggle. So who would like to share first? What was one thing that you received today through the meditation time?
Noah
received through the meditation. So you take the mic. I'm going to get another mic and come over to you, okay?
Right here, yes. What's your name? Audra. Awesome. Okay. He's coming to you. Great. So share with us.
Okay. So for a long time, my heart's desire has been to see Jesus' face. And so this was absolutely perfect. Perfect verse. So I was kind of meditating on to gaze upon your beauty. And I asked him that I might see his face so that I can draw closer to him and that I might have more faith. But he told me, he said, child, as you seek me, as you take the journey of seeking my face, that is where your faith draws from. It is where your hope draws from. Seeking after my face continually, and your faith will grow. Don't grow weary, but instead grow bold and strong. Seeking after one thing from me is how you will grow. Press in, child, press in.
Come on. Wow. That was powerful, Audra. And did you see pictures or did you hear anything? Just share with us maybe how you felt like you received that. Was it in words? Did it just come to you as you're writing?
Well, I don't know. It's like when he speaks to me, it's more of like, it's like my mind tone changes.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know. Yeah. It just kind of came to me and I just wrote it down. Or as I was writing, I didn't really get any pictures except all I could think about was, my favorite verse is also Ezekiel, or my like chapter is Ezekiel 43, like where he's going deeper, you go deeper into the water, but that comes from the temple.
Mm.
And so like just getting to the temple so that it can go deeper is also kind of like
amen. Come on. And the reason I ask that is for everyone else in the room, too, just to be encouraged. There are so many different ways that the Lord will meet us in the place of encounter. And it's encouraging for one person to hear your story and the way the Lord speaks to you. They could say, oh, yeah, I've felt that before. I've seen or heard that. Thank you, Audra. Love that. Wow. Did you have something back here? I saw a hand back here somewhere. Yes. Remind me of your name. I should know it. Steve.
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 With the healed neck. And strong knees.
Amen.
When I wrote the verse down, I couldn't get beyond, it says, one thing I have asked from the Lord that I will look for. And I was trying to get on beyond that, and I felt like the Lord kept pulling me back, that I will look for. I will ask, but I will look. And that's kind of one thing that I've mentioned in the beginning that I've been struggling with, just getting into the Word myself, just meditating in the Word. And the image that came to my mind was a miner. I could see like a deep shaft and a miner sitting on a rope swing, and the wall of the mine, the shaft, was just studded with all kinds of precious stones. And I heard the Lord say that that stones remain uncovered until the miner finds the stone. And so, and there are stones that are embedded in His Word that just were embedded for me. Just like they're embedded just for you. And you've got to look for them. And then I kind of felt like the Lord was saying, you know, you think of the work as being tiresome and lengthy, but when you discover what I have for you, you'll forget all that. It's like all that is forgotten when you hold that stone.
Wow.
And then toward the end of all those sets, when you were singing about the sanctuary of the Lord, I heard the Lord say that the holy sanctuary is a storehouse of hidden treasure. And I just felt like He was saying, my Word is that storehouse, and it is my sanctuary. And as you mine in there, you're going to find treasures that are just going to blow you away.
Yeah. Come on, Steve. Yeah. Thank you. I just want to encourage you, Steve. You are a man of depth, and you're a deep well, I just feel like. You know, you've just shared, you've been crying out in this season for encounter in a specific way, and just want to encourage you as you were sharing. I just saw, it was like revelation just pouring down. Like, you are a willing, open, pure vessel for the Lord, and I just saw a straight plumb line from you to heaven. And really, Lord, I thank you in this season for Steve, and I thank you for the encounters that you have that await him, Lord, that you have opened his eyes to see. You will continue to open his eyes to see. I ask for dreams in the night. I ask for visions, open visions, Lord. Cause your Word to come alive afresh in a new way in this season. In Jesus' name. Yeah. You're a seer. Just want to encourage you. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else want to share? Yes. Stan.
Who am I missing? Oh.
You're meditating.
I was lost in the prophetic stare. Huh?
I went to the part where it says, just to behold the beauty of the Lord. So spend some time just in beholding, and then beauty, and then Lord. And I felt the Lord say, the world says beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, but the Spirit says transformation captures the beholder. And behold is an aggressive action. It's not passive. And I love this part from the Lord. Beholding is the beginning of longing for. So,
amen. Amen. I heard that. But say the last part. I just got distracted by telling Ben something. I wanted to hear that again.
Beholding is the beginning of longing for.
Love that.
Yeah.
That's so good. Thank
it's
you.
The beginning, so.
Beginning. There's more. There's always yeah. more.
Amen.
By the way, Noah has never been this vocal ever. I think he likes
He's
this.
Quiet if he gets the mic.
I think he likes it a lot. He's starting to find his voice. May he find it in the house of prayer and
He's
sing to
the
Lord.
He's a preacher of righteousness.
In Jesus' name. That's right. Anyone else? Also, I want to hear if there's someone bold enough out here to share with us. I will share, if no one else. But was there a challenge? Was any part of it challenging? Did you discover a moment where you needed a breakthrough? And what was that like for you? Who wants to be bold and share that with us? Yes, sir. Corey's coming to you. And right here.
Okay, so I was looking at I Will Seek and was kind of struggling with it. I was trying to meditate on it for a while and got kind of discouraged in it. Was ready, like, well, I'll just listen to the music and hang out. And then I don't generally get, like, visions or stuff like that, but I got, like, could see myself the other day, and I was looking for some Advil, and I went to the cabinet, and when I went there, I knew it wasn't there. I didn't think it was there, and I opened it up. Nothing was there. I didn't see it. And then my wife came in, opened it up, grabbed the Advil that was right there in front of my face the whole time, and gave it to me. And so I kind of felt like that was if you don't think you're gonna find anything, then
wow.
You know you're not gonna see it when it's right there in front of your face. Wow. So I kind of got a little breakthrough like that.
Come on, that's awesome. By faith, right? It's like sometimes, yeah, in the natural, we're like, what in the world's going on? Nothing's happening. But by faith, you entered in. In that moment. And it's that simple. I love that. By faith, let us draw.
What's the exact wording of the verse where it says, seek God? But it's those who seek God must first believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that seek him.
Diligently yeah. Seek him. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
I love that.
This was interesting because I love being in the Word, and I just love to go. I like to go from verse to verse, you know, like you're saying about all those rabbit trails. They're not rabbit trails, but it's like adventures in God. So it was a kind of a discipline to, like, stay with one phrase. So I thought that was really opening up capacity for me in depth to stay with one phrase instead of continue to go. But I have notes that I will pursue in the future.
Yes. Come on. That's awesome. So you found that helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And did you find that you were able to stay in that place by writing those things down for later? That's awesome.
Yeah, she's got two full pages right there.
Come on.
Good.
Do you have any insight you wanted to share?
Yeah. I was meditating on beholding the beauty of the Lord, and, you know, that got a lot of stuff. But, you know, I want to be a better beholder, a better gazer. And so one of the things I realized that there are things about the beauty of God that I, at this point, even though I'm a mature believer, don't even recognize as beauty. So I'm asking God to open up just insight for me to recognize beauty, because there might be things that, you know, don't look beautiful at all at first glance, but they really are. So I don't want to miss the beauty of God in any way.
So good. That is something really key that I usually share. I don't know, I think I mentioned it in the teaching, but one thing that I have found it so helpful for me is to not go into a time of meditation assuming I know everything about that verse, because we may have been on a verse. It could be John 3:16. We've all heard it since we were little. Whether it would be our parents teaching us or we just heard it on the radio in church, but to actually approach scripture believing that there's always more and not assuming that we just get it. But if we would come into it going, Lord, what do you want to show me afresh today? He will. Thank you for sharing that. Do you teach? Yeah. Do you teach Bible? It's awesome. It's evident. Thank you, Lord, for the Bible teachers.
Yes, God.
We bless you to teach the unsearchable riches of Jesus.
Joshua.
Okay, I was in, I made it to the word, the one thing. So that's as far as I got. What I wrote was that one thing that burns inside of me most is kind of what I was like wrangling through, like, what is that? And it's that which is the thing that I'm most passionate. It is the focus of my being. I have a single-eyed laser focus on one thing, and it consumes my being. It is inescapable, and I can't help but talk about it. So if you talk to me, it's going to come up in a conversation. This is a defining piece of who I am, and because of that, I structure my life decisions around this one thing. And then it was kind of like a call to be intentional and purposeful as I walk out and fulfill that one thing, which I know is the rest of the verse, but I hadn't gotten that far. So,
Come on. Praise the Lord. That's so good. I love how personal it is to you and how deeply you took it to heart immediately. Thank you, Josh. Anybody else? A couple things I want to highlight. Did anyone find it helpful hearing the singers and the musicians play and sing on the same scripture that you're meditating on? It took a little bit because they started out in one, but once they got to, I mean, it all has to do with it, but once they got to four, did you find that helpful? Yeah. Sometimes it could be distracting. I'm just asking. So I actually write that down sometimes. Music is distracting. In a moment. But sometimes the Lord really uses what the singers are singing or the musicians are playing, because the musicians can prophesy with their instruments. Do you believe that? Like, they actually, I have been in situations where I do believe I'm hearing the instruments minister to me. Through the instruments, the word of God is ministering to me, and that can happen. But that's something I just wanted to highlight, to be alert and kind of sensitive when you're doing it in a prayer room setting. Lord, what are you speaking? Because oftentimes he'll connect something that's being sung to what we're meditating on, such as in the very beginning, I wrote down, my heart is satisfied in your presence. They were singing that song, Better Is One Day in Your Courts. And it's like, this is it. You know, like, and I started saying that to the Lord because I was meditating on to inquire in your temple all my days, inquire of you in your temple. And so I was like, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. So I started singing that related to my phrase. Yes, ma'am. Don't have to. Maybe when they close at night, but you can come right back. Wow.
Yeah, it's interesting. I want to just pick up on what you're saying for a moment related to what the singers were doing today, because, you know, we're trying to develop the verses that were sung, and sometimes, you know, you can, the whole word of God is anointed, right? So we can develop any passage and any phrase in the passage, and it's going to be anointed because it's God's word. But then there's those unique times where there's an overt energy on a certain phrase or word, and you can feel it in the room. And I don't know if you guys noticed, but when we got to, you know, the first was the Lord is my light and my salvation, and we were kind of developing light. But all of a sudden I had a picture of the sun coming up on a new day and the word hope. And so to me that was the Spirit going, that's the direction I want to go. And so as the prayer leader, you know, so I started to throw out phrases related to, you know, the new day, old things have passed away. And then Ben sang the bright morning star, you know, which is the first rising of the star in the morning. And I could sense a shift of the Holy Spirit just saying, ah, you guys tapped into where I want to go this morning. And then the whole team developed that theme of the hope of a new day and the light of God illuminating the new day. And did you guys sense that at all? Were you kind of tracking with that? I mean, those are the moments that it takes all the other hours to get to. But when we get to those little divine moments where the Lord starts to say, this is what I'm speaking over this group this morning using that verse, I just love how we can tap into the Lord's heart for us and really receive from him in that way as well. Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. So just an observation I made this morning.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am, back here in the pink.
Amen.
Come on.
Yes, yes. How many of you in the room feel like that you need the hope of a new day right now and some old stuff to wash away? Just raise your hand up. Okay, let's just pray for that. Mm-hmm. Lord, we just acknowledge this is your emphasis right now. We thank you that you are our light. You are our salvation. In your light, God, you release all goodness, all joy, all peace. The Father of lights, you release every good thing from above to us. Yes. And so we just receive it right now. God, we receive light that would cause all of the dark shadows to flee away. We just declare that old things have passed away, that this is a new day, a new season of hope. Yes. So we just release hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. that you, God, would give us hope, not by things that we can see necessarily in the natural, but by the supernatural power of God in the inner man, that we would feel your everlasting hope on our hearts today. And we declare all things become new. This is a new day for us, individually and as a corporate body. This is a new day for Voice Ministries. This is a new day for Michiana as a whole and what you're doing in the church. And we thank you for it and receive it right now. Yes. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And I think this is a part of the, this is why the Lord designed it to be this way, that we would be able to come in corporately, the word, worship together with a focus in his word, ministering to him. And as a result, we are ministered to. It's by design. Yes, that's good. Did you get something?
What did you get?
I'm going to switch with Ben because Noah needs me.
Okay.
Okay, so she was focusing on to behold the beauty of the Lord.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So what was your picture that you drew? What was it about? Tell them.
It was about the food table up in heaven, and
who's this?
That's me, and that's Jesus.
Ooh.
And that's my kitty Tiny, and that's my puppy Peanut.
It's like all your favorite people are up there at the table of the Lord.
They both died.
Oh, so they're with the Lord right now.
She knows they're with Jesus right now because they both died. So, and what's this?
That's the tea that,
the tea that you're drinking?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So you're beholding Jesus' beauty while you're having tea? Yeah. Did you want to share about your other picture?
This is when Jesus died on the cross.
Now, did you draw this one when you were meditating on the beauty of the Lord? Yeah. So this is pretty profound. So she draws this, Jesus on the cross, while she's meditating on the beauty of the Lord. Right? You wouldn't get that in the natural.
Did you want to say anything else? No? Okay.
Good job. That's awesome. That's amazing. Good. Yeah, I love that. Good job. Yeah, that's great. Good. Now, yeah, a lot of times, I don't know if Megan said this earlier or not, but in those meditation sheets, you know, there's the big area where you write down the majority of what you get. And I think most people assume that it's just for writing only, but a lot of times, you know, I've had guys that are very artistic that write in different patterns. Like they'll write circular around like that because it uses a different part of your brain. They'll write up and down. They'll draw pictures there. And the Lord can communicate a lot through a picture just like he can a symbol or a parable in a much less content than having to write out every revelation that you got. You can just draw a picture of what the Lord's showing you as well. So, good. Yes, Gail. I like it. Yeah, that's wise. That's really good. Good. Any other observations or comments related to how the flow, or even questions, how the flow of the singers and the music went? Ben's up here now as the worship leader, so maybe you'd have some questions related to the model. Steve. Do you know how to play baseball? A little bit? Okay. We are pitcher and catcher. I'm the catcher, and he's the pitcher. So the worship leader is the ultimate leader. Everybody defers to him. He's the leader, just like the pitcher is. But do you know how, like in baseball, the catcher kind of, he has all the little signals that he goes, hey, let's do a curveball. You know, and the pitcher might go, nah. And then the catcher tries something else. Nah. And then finally the pitcher will go, okay, we're going to do that. And then he follows. That's kind of how we operate. You know, I kind of listen to where Ben wants to go after the verse is sung. I'll throw out a phrase, and I'll kind of follow, and we're kind of navigating together. So we co-lead, but I always defer to this guy. I always defer to him.
And I, as a worship leader, I really try to defer to the prayer leader when it comes to working our way through the passage. When it comes to the content we're singing, I really lean on the prayer leader because I just know that they're the ones who are kind of in the position for the Holy Spirit to really use to navigate us through. I mean, he could use any of us, but they're like the designated ones who, like, that when we started going off on hope, I mean, that came from Corey, not me, but I felt it the same way that he did, and so I went there too. Now, if I hadn't gone there, we might have ended up going somewhere else, because as the worship leader, I can do that. But why would I want to do that if there's so much life on what he's saying, you know? So I guess when it comes to content that we're singing, I think the prayer leader is really, like, kind of the main leader. But like he said, worship kind of like leader kind of has a trump card.
Yeah, I mean, it's so we kind of co-lead. But when we get into the content, it's kind of like I think of myself as the rudder of the ship a little bit. Yeah. Like, I'll throw out words that are going to steer us. Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this a little bit, maybe even on Monday. Or maybe I was talking to Stan about it. But I look at it as I still sit there as a Bible teacher. So I'm thinking, okay, if I throw out this phrase, we're going to kind of develop this. And I kind of keep us steering in that direction. But it's interesting because the singers, you'll notice, I'll throw out a phrase. They will immediately say or sing exactly what I said. But then they start to develop it. And then I will hear what they're singing. And sometimes I'll repeat what they just sang. I'll say it again. And so there's just a neat way that God weaves all that together, you know. So, yep. Yeah, great. Ashton, come on up. Josh, come on up. Yeah, that'd be good. We didn't plan anything. I grabbed them right before the set. I don't even have any knowledge of whether... I know he used to do worship of the word and intercessory formats before a little bit. But actually, he said to me before the set, you know, I'm not that familiar with the worship of the word. I've done more intercession. Ashton, I don't even know. They didn't even know some of the songs we did. So that's why I ran back and got them song sheets.
Was it hard? Number one, was it hard? Yeah.
Well, I'm going to sit down. Well, sometimes it was kind of hard. Like, at first, I totally thought you were just making up on the spot, like, because we didn't have sheet music, which is no big deal, you know, lead in the Holy Spirit or whatever. But I totally thought that you were like, I was like, man, he's doing really good. He's just making up this whole thing. And he's
writing songs.
That's a great song he just made up.
So props to you. I mean, that was great.
Thanks.
But no, I think like that's kind of the, it kind of just helps you in training, really, I think. When certain things happen like that, when you don't, you might not know the song, so you'll have to force yourself to remember the lyrics better and really focus on the lyrics, you know, not just singing a song for the song.
Let me say something real quick on that. So I definitely started pulling out some songs that we didn't have song sheets for, which I do that when there's a like theme or something that I cannot escape as a worship leader. And there are some songs that are coming to me. I'm like, I'm going to go there. But what I do try to do when I get those songs is, for the most part, just sing the choruses. Because some of those songs I was singing have verses, but that's not something you can just like pick up on in a moment. Because usually you sing through a verse once, and then you just sing the chorus over and over again. So what I try to do in those moments is I just try to stick to the chorus, so at least if they don't know it, they can hear it over and over again and pick up on it. So
I was kind of doing a lot of lip reading. I was telling Corey earlier, because before I got the sheet music, and even after I got the sheet music, there's like, I didn't realize there was like 50 songs that you gave me. So I'm like, which one is this? I'm like, hang out, give me 5 minutes, I'll find it real quick. But yeah, I was just kind of, you know, reading lips and, you know, sometimes not even saying words, just kind of mumbling some harmonies. Could you tell?
You're an anointed mumbler.
Yeah, I mean, that actually falls on me as a worship leader. So normally I would want to have those kind of things like ready for you guys, and we could even go over it or practice it and stuff like that. But even though you guys didn't have that and I didn't give you much to work with, I don't know if anybody out here really picked up on that or was thinking, wow, they must not have the sheet music because this sounds terrible. I assume nobody out there was really thinking that. Maybe I'm wrong. But good. See, we sounded great. But I will say that I would want to, as a worship leader, be more prepared. So, I mean, I had those songs. Maybe I'd want to go over it with you more. So that's something that is like a, not a con or a negative thing, but that I definitely want to work on. So
I just think it emphasizes the power of the model. They know the model. So because of that, and the model is a communication tool, they knew what was going to come next all the way through. Even though they didn't know the words to it, they knew we're going to follow Ben in the corporate worship songs. We're going to find our harmonies. Then we're going to sing in the spirit for a while, sing spontaneously, and then we're going to develop this passage. Not one time did they ever vocally ask a question like, what are we doing? They knew the whole way through. Just because you know the model, it just makes it so simple. That's what I love, because you can have interchangeable parts, we call it, you know. Though we have all these teams at IHOP, anybody can jump on anybody else's team at any point, not even speak to one another, and can flow effortlessly because everybody is using the same communication tool. So, you have to, because there's so many times where, you know, last minute the drummer can't make it. It's the 2 a.m. set. And so it's like, you know, hey, can you play drums? Sure. You know, I can hop in. I know exactly what to do. Or a prayer leader or a singer. Happens all the time. Ruth Ann, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say, I think
you just answered that. I was going to ask Carol if they answered
her
question. Yeah. Did they answer your question?
No.
Okay. So ask it again. Say it one more time, maybe a different way, so they get the right answer you want.
It was fun. The first cycle that we did, I kind of struggled a little bit, you know. Just in my flesh, I guess, you know. But the second model, and I still had things to sing the first model, but the second model, I felt like I entered in more. And, you know, it's like my mind is so critical. I need to get over that, but critical of myself. I'm a perfectionist, and it's like I look at other people, I'm like, man, they have such an awesome language to God. I wish I could have that, you know. But everybody is in their, you know, where they are at, and everybody has their own language to God. So you just gotta give him what you got, and he's gonna love it no matter what, you know. I don't tend to like go into really long, wordy sentence structures, but I'll get like one little thought and I'll just sing it, and I like to kind of do some vocal stuff around maybe that one little phrase. So that's just my own style. Everybody has their
own
style.
And I think like I did struggle. I thought it was a little difficult because it was a different atmosphere with different people. But, like, the first thing I knew, like, was, okay, I'm not sure, like, of the words, I'm not sure of the melody, so I'm going to sit back because I was singer, like, 3 or 4, and then I knew that Sammy was the first, so I was going to let her pick the first harmony, and then Josh would be the next, and so I was like, this was the one harmony that I'll go to, which was the higher part, so that's
just what I'm going to stick to for the rest of the time, because then they can get their groove. So I had like one rock I knew that I was standing on, so I just kind of used that in a way, like, okay, I know I'm going to sing the high harmony. If I don't know the words, then I'll just be like, you know, just kind of like the mumbling too. So, mom. So.
How about the antiphonal singing? Like, how was that for you? What was your experience?
I love antiphonal singing, and I've never read out of the scripture before, so I really loved the, like, the new experience to that, and I think that that was just so much more powerful because it was just God's written word. And I love, like, even when you don't know what to sing, that just with the with the harp and bowl model, you're allowed to, like, just repeat what the person said before you, and then you can get the thought, you know. It's just, yeah, just don't think about it too much. Like, it's so simple in itself that you just play with it. Play with the simplicity, whatever. Yeah. That's not a word, but.
You communicated it well, though.
So one thing I wanted to say related to what Josh was saying on language, the wisdom of how the Lord has just given these kind of different formats is in the worship with the word format, you're going to know ahead of time, if you're on a regular worship team, what passage you're going to develop. And usually a worship team will stay on the same passage for sometimes months. You know, we're going to stay on Psalm 27, let's say, for the next 3 months. Everybody knows it. They study it. You know, they're studying. So you're getting Bible study time. You know, they'll go into other people's sets and they'll do what you guys did today, meditate on the different verses. Then when they get up to sing, they've got a plethora of phrases and words to pull from that they've already journaled. They've sang it to God in the seats. They've meditated on it before. So they have a lot to pull from. And then when you go to the intercession sets and you're praying, you know, for the beauty of God to be released over a city or the spirit of revelation, they can actually pull all the language that they meditated on in Psalm 27:4 into the intercession times, and it gives them language. And so as the singers just lock into a lifestyle of doing this, meditation on the word, singing it on worship of the word sets, singing on intercession sets, they develop a lot of language. And if you were to ask them, you know, give me some language on Psalm 27:4, they might go, I don't know. But when you get in this atmosphere and it just starts to flow out of you, I mean, there's so much of the word that comes out that you don't even know it's coming. And the Lord ties all these different, like today, it was so cool for me. There's so many passages that the Lord was weaving together between what Ben was saying and some of the singers and what I was saying. You know, he would say, he sang some phrase like glory of his image or something. And again, I go to Hebrews 1, you know, the express image of his glory. And you know, those kind of phrases, but we're tying that into Psalm 27:1, the light of his countenance. And then, you know, he is the light of the world. And there's just so many things, you know, the day star, light that shines in the darkness can't overcome it. All those kind of verses are just being woven together, and the Holy Spirit's presenting a theme to us. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I want to highlight something Ashlyn said about just, like, stepping out and just repeating what the last person's saying, you know. For one, that is the safest and best thing to do as a prophetic singer, I think, because, one, you're dignifying the person that just sang the last phrase when you repeat them. And two, you're actually building up. It's almost like it's like potential energy, but it's like potential revelation. And the more you say it, I mean, revelation seriously comes through vocalization. And that's actually a lot of what Megan was teaching today, is not only do you read the verse, and you're not just thinking about it. Christian meditation isn't thinking. You say it. You sing it. You pray it. And when it comes out of your mouth, that's when revelation starts to come. And if you just repeat what the last person said, maybe you're at the point where you're like, I have no idea what to sing about his light. Well, you know what you should do? Just sing, you are my light. You are my light. Now, from a natural perspective, that should have no bearing on future revelation. I mean, that shouldn't contribute, just saying it out loud. But in the spirit, God's just set things up so that when something comes out of your mouth, it actually brings revelation, and more things will come as you speak them, and way more things will come as you sing them. So I just really appreciate that you noticed that and said that. I actually don't remember what you're talking about, but... Ah, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So we finished corporate worship. Like, we did a couple of corporate worship songs. We sang Better as One Day, you know? And then we went into the spontaneous singing. So it was like, everybody lift up your voices, I would say. And then we brought it down to nothing. And you're right, I looked at him, and I actually told him in the talk back a couple minutes before, because I don't like springing it on musicians in the moment. I know that feeling. It's terrifying. Can you start a cycle right now? Sure. You just kind of like, whatever. Because you don't want any gaps. You don't want silence. And so I tell him a few minutes beforehand, hey, when we're done with spontaneous, can you do a cycle? And I want to give him a few minutes to come up with something. Because I know he's a good enough musician to have something if I call on him a few minutes beforehand. So when we finished spontaneous singing, brought it down to nothing, he knew that was his time to start a cycle. So when it was just him playing the bass, that was actually him starting a chord progression for us to sing around with the passage. Yeah. And then I came in with some chords on top of what he was playing, and the percussion came in, Robert came in, so...
And I'm
when I'm coming in like with the keys, I'm not necessarily listening to every single note he's playing. He was playing three chords. So out in the room, or you know, anybody, we would hear him playing like, I don't know, 20 different bass notes in one measure. But it was only three chords, and I just needed to be able to know what those three chords were, and I could follow along with him. So
and I'm on a team with Eric, and I play guitar. He's the worship leader on keys, and you know sometimes he'll switch to a different chord progression, and I'm like a mediocre musician, I would say, and I'm like, oh gosh, I don't know what he's playing. I'm like trying to listen to my guitar, and eventually he'll realize, oh, I forgot to tell Josh, and then he'll like, you know, A, B, you know, whatever. So sometimes communication is necessary.
I would die without the number system, honestly. And I'll try to get that to you guys. I mean, you can really present it pretty quickly. And if we have time at some point, I'll try to teach that. But the number system is like the saving grace for musicians in the house of prayer. Because it really is simple, but it is a lifesaver. Because you can know what chord is coming no matter what key you're in. Like, whether you're in A, B, C, C sharp, E flat, whatever key, one is one, two is two, three is three. It really simplifies it. And so we'll try to touch on that. You lost all the
musicians. Bob knew what you're talking about. That's on the worship initiative, too, by the way. Shane and Shane have a whole series on the Nashville number system.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, I encourage you guys as a worship team, maybe take some, like come in a little early for briefings or something and go over like those videos and start learning the number system together, something like that. It'd be really helpful. That's especially helpful when you're jumping onto teams you've never played with before. Like that's huge if you're coming into a set that's not your normal team, and if the person starting the cycle is like, okay, the chords are 6-5-1-4, and you can just know what it is without them having to really come over and write it down on a piece of paper and you know, or whatever. But
I think the last thing I want to mention, and if there's any other questions, we've got 5 more minutes, but one of the
the problems in getting people to regularly come to the house of prayer is that they don't have accountability is not really the right word, but there's nobody there meeting them that they know is waiting on them. So it's like, well, if I show up 20 minutes late today or an hour late or maybe I won't come today, you know, it's no big deal because they weren't necessarily going to connect with anybody anyway. But the house of prayer should be very relational, and we're really trying to work on that more down in Kansas City. So we have the meditation teams where, you know, it's a defined moment. We're going to meet at 2 o'clock, and we're going to meditate together on Psalm 27:4. And so we put teams together that, you know, brief, like Megan said, pray for one another. How are you doing? Then we go in together, meditate, debrief, and go home, kind of like what we just did all together right now. And I would highly, highly, highly encourage having meditation teams where you guys have, when, you know, if three of you say, hey, I can come Wednesday afternoon, that you just say, hey, why don't we just meet at 2 and spend an hour together meditating on a certain verse, you know? And you can even do different verses. It doesn't matter, but that you would meet each other so there's faces, you know, that you're going to see that you know are waiting on you if you don't show up, because it'll help you personally just be accountable to yourself and your schedule to come. So that's a really great way to kind of gel together and create that family dynamic in the house of prayer, not just individuals showing up randomly, but, you know, teams coming together. So any other questions related to anything that happened today? Meditation, Psalm 27, what happened with the model, the worship teams, how Ben got to be such an awesome guy? Question? Yeah, huge point. So the more that the worship team can really be a team, you know, and get to grow in relationship with one another and be more unified, more of the Holy Spirit's activity can be released through us. And the more that we get beyond the technicalities of the model and we can just kind of shut our eyes and flow with it, the easier it is to enter into that place, and you reap the benefits of that. Absolutely. Good observation. Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Good. All right. Yes.
I would say they shouldn't, because if they can, it's kind of a tricky question, actually, because if I'm like the worship leader and out in the room and everybody's really unresponsive, you know, like, there's room for me to kind of get offended or be like, what, am I doing something wrong, you know? And at the same time, I do want to be attentive to, like, there's some things that people really are responding to. Like, if there's a chorus that has a lot of life on it, and people are, like, standing up. Like, I think there was even a couple today where it picked up a little, and people were really, like, starting to lift their hands. I was like, hey, this is good. Let's just keep going with this. So I'll be attentive to what's happening in the room. Yet at the same time, if I base where I am going to take the set on what I see in the room, I am going to be the most fickle worship leader ever, blown by every wind and wave, you know. We want to be up here on stage before an audience of one. And so it's kind of like a dance in a sense, where I want to be aware of what's going on in the room as a worship leader and anybody on the worship team, you know, be aware. But in one sense, we're kind of having our own little Bible study up here, and we're having our own encounter with the Lord that we want to create an atmosphere for other people to enter in. But I can't let what's going on in the room affect or dictate what's going on in my heart as a worship leader or anything. Well, I mean, yeah, there were definitely some moments where I felt unity all across the room, for sure. And I felt the Holy Spirit, like, highlight something, and it was like everybody was kind of on the same page. And so we're in the same room as everybody here, you know. While we are kind of doing, I said, like, we're doing our own Bible study, at the same time, we're all a part of the same prayer meeting. And so we're definitely affected by things like that as well. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay, well, Lord, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the treasures of your word that you have opened to us wide and free, and you have given us full access into all the wisdom and knowledge that is found in your Son, that's found when he opens his mouth to speak his word to our hearts. And we ask you for more of that. We ask you for more of the spirit of revelation in our midst. God, I ask you to continue to build teams in this house of singers and musicians who will discover the beauty of Jesus in singing the word, who will come to harp and bowl sets and grow in the knowledge of your Son. Father, we ask you to be with us and this afternoon. Keep us safe and bring us back with hungry hearts tonight, Lord. We ask you to visit us and give us inspiration. Give us a refreshing zeal and a passion for your house and for your name. We love you. We lift your name high. In Jesus' name, amen.